It was a momentous week in Iraq. U.S. troops killed the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. And on the political front, the government filled out the final three cabinet posts, ending a stalemate over who would be in charge of the nation's security forces. Here to talk with us about where Iraq goes now is Nir Rosen, a journalist who has spent much of the last 3 years in that country. He's the author of a new book on Iraq, In the Belly of the Green Bird. Welcome to the program, Mr. Rosen.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the title of your book. What's the Green Bird?
Well, when I was in Fallujah, and other parts of Iraq, in fact, Sunni martyrs in the battle against the American occupier were said to be in paradise dwelling in the bellies of green birds. You saw this written on mosques. You heard this in sermons. The martyrs are in paradise dwelling in the bellies of green birds. It's a quote attributed to the Prophet Muhammad.
You write that Zarqawi's goal was to foment sectarian violence between Sunnis and Shia. Do you think that Iraq can pull back from civil war now that he's dead?
No, I think the civil war began in earnest in 2005, but it may have already begun before then. And at this point, it has its own dynamic, and Zarqawi was no longer very important for it. In fact, his death, I think, is just an inconsequential event. What is really important in the civil war is the fact that Shia militias, which control the police and the army, really began to retaliate in 2005, targeting Sunni populations, Sunni towns, Sunni neighborhoods, arresting Sunnis en masse, often cleansing Sunnis from Shia neighborhoods. In the mornings, you'd often find the bodies of Sunnis who'd been killed because they had Sunni names like Omar.
The police are part of the Interior Ministry, one of the three cabinet posts filled this week. Is it possible to reform a security force like this?
No, and I certainly don't think that the final appointment of individual ministers is going to make a difference. The reason is that the Sunnis initially boycotted the Iraqi government and the security forces, allowing Shias to take over, to staff the police, staff the army. And the people who would be desperate enough to join the security forces were poor, and they were male. Most young, poor males in Iraq these days, who are Shia, support Muqtada Sadr, and in fact belong to the Mahdi army. So there's no non-sectarian people left in Iraq these days. That's one problem. Another problem is that the new minister himself is a former anti-Saddam. Saddam would have called him a terrorist.
You're talking about the new interior minister.
Yes, the new interior minister has sort of been a jihad fighter against Saddam. So he's hardly an impartial actor here. And at this point, Iraqi society is just so polarized. The police drive around in vehicles that have stickers and posters for Muqtada Sadr's militia on them. On the other side, the Sunnis aren't going to just accept that they're under attack. They have their own militias. These militias were busy attacking the Americans, and more they're now busy defending Sunni neighborhoods from the Shias.
You know, you hear U.S. officials time and time again talking about the need for this government in Iraq to assume control of security in that country, and that once that happens, U.S. forces will be able to leave. Is that a possibility from what you've seen and from what you describe?
Well, talking about an Iraqi government is in itself sort of unrealistic, because there is no government. You have a collection of militias. Even among the Shia coalition, you have several militias who despise each other. So the Shias don't get along. Even if there was no civil war, they would be at each other's throats. They already are. In much of the south, you have Shia militias fighting each other. And the control on the streets of Iraq has really been in the hands of tribal leaders, of clerics, of militia leaders from day one of the American occupation. So the government is more of a nominal thing. They don't do anything in terms of services. There's no mail. There's no barely any electricity. In terms of health care, there's absolutely nothing. In fact, Muqtada Sadr's people took control of the Ministry of Health. One of the things they did was cleanse it of all Sunnis. So they're being run. These ministries are being run as fiefdoms just to give your supporters a job. But they're completely inefficient. So there's no government providing any services, whether security or anything else. These are things that are left to alternative sources, militias, mosques, things like that, tribal leaders.
Where does that leave Iraqi citizens?
Terrified. They go out of the house not knowing if they're going to make it back home that day. Under Saddam, the terror came from one source, the government. And these days, it's much more democratically spread. You can be killed just by being in your car, just by crossing the street, just for going to work, just for going to the market, just for being a Sunni, just for being a Shia. You can be killed by the Americans, by the police. Iraq is a very scary place to be. In fact, one of the scary things in Baghdad these days are the new security forces. It used to be my first 2 years there, whenever I would go out, I would constantly see American military vehicles. You could feel the American occupation. These days, you can go around in Baghdad for a day or two and not see a single American vehicle, apart from the occasional helicopter above. But what you do feel is this, it's sort of like the Iraqis are occupying Iraq. Nobody knows when the shots are going to start, when the explosion is going to happen. Nobody knows if the police are the police, or if they're a militia, or if they're a kidnapping gang. I think Iraq now is a republic of terror.
You paint such a bleak picture. What do you see in the future? Is there anything that gives you optimism that this can be a country that's governed by a central government?
Short term, no. It's hard for me to think of anything positive. And we in the media get pilloried often for reporting only the so-called bad news and not reporting the good news. But I think one of the problems is that the American people aren't getting enough of the bad news. It's so dangerous in Iraq that reporting just how bad things are is difficult.
Journalist Nir Rosen's new book on Iraq is called In the Belly of the Green Bird. We reached him in Istanbul. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.